It's just tough because it's family, right? It's like, that's your family. So
yes,
I literally told my friend, I don't think that's the kind of family you need to be helping out for free. Like, it doesn't matter that they're family. Like, you set a boundary and you don't let those kinds of people take advantage of you in that way. It's just not.
Exactly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Laundry Basket Podcast. We are back again with another brain dump ramble episode. I'm just going to kick us off with a laundry related question because
laundry
has been on my mind. It feels very relevant. Are we taking the lint out of the catcher before or after we move the clothes over? This is a genuine question.
I'm so happy you asked this.
I knew you'd appreciate it as a laundry lover.
Yes, because I only made up my mind recently about this, like maybe in the last 2 years. And it has to be before.
Yes, agree. Okay. Hard agree. So glad you came to that conclusion, the right one.
I didn't know I was on a test like this.
Yeah. There's only one right answer. But I live in a household divided, I gotta say.
Oh, Steve, what's the logic for after? There's a logic for before.
Yeah, the logic is the lint isn't getting all over everything when you pull it out. It's not a dusty mess all over wet stuff. It seems like there's no other way about it in my mind, but he always does it the other way. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fight you on this, but no. I just like fundamentally disagree.
Yeah. Also, you don't want to see any of that lint on your clothes.
No. Oh, and yeah. I do find it sometimes. And I'm like, I know why this is happening. We all know why this is here. But yeah, I'm glad we're on, at least
here on the same page. Yeah, we're on the same page on that. Cool. Okay.
But you just decided this? Like, this was not an,
Well, here's the thing. The other dryer I had, the thing for the lint, you had to like take it out and kind of like unlock it to open it.
Oh.
So it was somewhat protected. Like, it was okay because rarely did the lint like overflow. Okay.
Yeah.
However, now that I've moved and I live in a house where there is a separate laundry room that everybody shares. Not everybody in the house, like everybody in the complex, like there's a lot of machines. Those dryers have your old ass, like curved little thing that you just like put your finger
scoop it out.
You scoop it out. Hey, that's the word. So since then, there's no debate there. You must. You must scoop it out before you take out the clothes, or else the clothes are scooping it out, you know. It doesn't work. So that is, and then I was like, you know, even if it's in a laundry in a dryer that has the protection or whatever, still just do it before, avoid any mishaps.
Yes, any transfer of dust,
it's
a clean way to do it. All right, we can
also good way. It's also a good way to not forget to do it.
Yeah, because it's a fire hazard,
it's
right?
It's a fire hazard.
You gotta be on top of that. All right.
Cool. I've been seeing on social media something very disturbing, and I just had to be like, this is a spam, like, don't show me this anymore or whatever. These little stupid videos and pictures of people, like, couples wearing matching underwear.
Oh, God. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. Ew. Ick. They're like, always the most cringy ads in the world. Yuck.
First of all the ones I've seen are not underwear I would choose for myself. And I damn hope it's not the underwear my significant other is going to choose either. Okay, just starting from there.
Yeah, they're corny.
They're corny as fuck. And then combining it, like matching it.
So embarrassed for you.
First of all, why? Second of all, when? Who's going to care about this? Like, who are you going to show each other? Like, hey, we got matching ducklings on our underwear. Like, what?
I'm so turned on by this. Said no one ever.
No one ever.
Ugh. It's giving sibling energy in the worst way. Like, there's something really disturbing about it to me.
It's giving a few energies that I also not sure how I feel about, but I'm not that, you know, against. Mm. For example, the whole, like, wearing your pajamas and taking a picture in front of the Christmas tree and sending it to everyone. Like, I'm not the biggest proponent of that, but it's not like it doesn't disgust me, but it's not like my thing, right? I'm just like, all right, whatever. Like, kind of. But it like, it's leaning towards that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the sibling thing you said, that's when they're, like, kids.
Yeah.
Like, adult siblings are not trying to match. Unless it's like, oh, my God, I went to this underwear store. They were, like, really good thongs or, like, underwear for sale. Like, not for sale, but, like you know, those, like, 5 for $35.
Mm-hmm.
And you're with... I mean, this happened to me just the other day. I was with Sophia. We just so happened to like the same kind, and we bought like two or three that were similar. Sure. But that's it. We're not walking around the house trying to match.
Yeah. You know? You're not like coordinating with them. No. It's weird. I'm so glad you brought this up.
It's wrong. It's bad. It's awful. It's useless. Energy. I don't like it. Something about it bothers me to my core. So if you do this with your significant, just explain to us. What we're missing. Are we missing out on something?
No. I don't know if there is an explanation that's going to make us feel less weird about this one. To top it off, I saw an ad like this the other day because I think they're gearing up because of Valentine's Day. It's like, oh, this is a romantic thing to do with your partner. And I was already disturbed enough to like block it and spam it like you did. But I made the mistake of looking at the comments before I did that.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know if this is like satire. I really hope it is, but there were some creepy fuckers in the comments saying how now they were gonna go, you know, pleasure themselves because this was just so attractive. And I feel like it's a joke, but there were multiple, and I was like, how is this?
I think that's a joke. I think that there's nothing hot about it, let alone arousing.
No. Just so disturbed, like just so.
The only thing aroused is my anger.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
All right. Good. I had to let that one out.
Well, speaking of being aroused in anger, okay, people who send emails with all caps in the subject line when it's not urgent, what is that energy? Like, why are you yelling at me via email? Like, there's no reason. Even if it is urgent, just write urgent in normal letters and I'll address it urgently. But like,
when you said something important, can the word urgent be in caps and the rest of the subject be in?
Okay, if there's one word that's allowed to be in caps, it's urgent, right? That's the only word that's understandable. Like, is it necessary? Probably not, because I still know how to read urgent, whether it's in caps or not. But it gets a pass. But otherwise, everything else, like, I'm probably sending it to spam. Again, if it's all caps, like, just that's not the energy I need at work. Mm-hmm. Just don't. Nothing is that serious. No.
Have you had emails where the actual body of the email is in caps?
Oh my God.
I have those sometimes.
Not the whole body. Maybe people who use caps sometimes, and even that is like, okay, calm down.
The whole thing.
That's the whole so thing. Unnecessary. Why?
And it's the
what
same
are they
people
talking about?
No, normal stuff. And it's a normal conversation. It's just their style. Like their style is to type all caps everything.
It's just yelling.
Right?
It's, somebody that's the only way to read it. It's just yelling. Like, don't yell at me in my place of work.
Even when I read the email, part of me is a little, like, you know, agitated.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the email, it's normal information. It's like, okay, you know, I don't know, I just picked this up and I'm going to prepare this document or whatever. But it's all like, all in caps.
And so weird.
And when you're writing all caps, you can't help but not put the right punctuations because commas and periods don't make sense anymore if you're writing all caps. It's like, are they really necessary? So, of course, sometimes they're missed in that whole like text that I'm reading. So now it's just a bunch of caps letters.
It's a run-on sentence of yelling. So horrendous. No. Don't do that, people.
I know, but what do you say? Like, do you answer the other person and be like, can you try not? to write like that next time. Like, you can't. That's just their way. Yeah.
I feel like my only, again, this hasn't happened to me, thankfully. Mm-hmm. I think my only like point of like addressing it would just be a lot of ellipses, like the dot, 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 like make them feel really uncomfortable. Like, okay, like I will get to this dot, dot, dot. Like, what is your problem? Why are you acting this way?
Just, I keep thinking that maybe just replying in the way I would like the email to be written, meaning proper use of caps or non-caps, proper use of commas and paragraphs and periods, you know, like maybe like lead by an example kind of thing.
But isn't everyone doing that? Like,
no,
clearly that hasn't worked with them. They're just going about life in their own chaotic way. But maybe.
Yeah. Email etiquette, man. But for my company, I would never allow my employees to write like that. No way.
What if you had a client? Would you drop them?
No, those are some of my clients. So I don't drop them. I just reply the way I wish I was addressed as well. Mm-hmm. One day, maybe.
Maybe they'll learn.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Since we're at this topic, I've been thinking, because I don't dislike, I feel like it's like, oh, a little pop of something fun when someone's automatic writing an email is like another color. It's like blue or purple. Yeah,
there are some of those out there.
I like that.
Why don't more people, why don't we do that? It's like,
why don't we do that?
Yeah, it's very different.
I feel like changing it every month. Like, oh, this month. You know how like each month has like a stone attached to it or something?
Oh, yeah. Like the birthstones.
Yeah, maybe you could like use that and get some birthstone energy in your like writing color on your email that month.
Yeah, or use like color theory, like red when it's like something intense and urgent, or like blue when it's like good calming
that energy. I don't know, I think I feel like that you're trying to impose a lot of things on the person reading.
If you there's that. Like some hidden subliminal messaging happening there for sure. Red and underlined and all caps
and bold.
It's a lot. Calm down. Oh my god,
that would be the answer to that email. If I get it, I would be like, I think it's time for a timeout.
Yeah, it gives childish energy, because when we were all first learning how to like type on the keyboards, I'm sure we were all doing that, like using all of the different features, and now that we're adults, we're just like, okay, black text. You barely ever use bold unless it's like really called for. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, the all caps people are just giving childish, fun energy.
Yeah, that's their way. But I will be thinking about the color thing.
Yeah.
Because that might be something that works out.
Yeah. All right. This is another random fact. Did you know that almond extract, like the extract we use in cooking and things like that, is sometimes made from the weird almond-shaped thing inside of a peach pit?
Why? Is it the same thing as an almond?
I mean, it's not an almond.
It's not an almond.
But it does look like an almond, which is weird. And I guess it has the same kind of like smell and like properties as an almond, which I just find so interesting because it looks like an almond. Like, have you ever broken open the peach pit and you're like, wow, this thing, it undeniably looks like an almond. But I'm pretty sure when I was younger, I did try and eat one and it tasted super bitter and weird and was not an almond. But I just find it so, the connection is just so weird. Like,
It's like all these parallels.
Yeah. Like, what? There's something deeper to it, and I don't know what it is. But I just had to share it with you guys.
Thank you for sharing. Now, I like to know that about nature. It's like nature's playing tricks or something.
Yeah, it's like these two look alike, and that's a hint that you can use them in similar ways.
In similar ways.
But don't eat them.
Yeah. Don't eat one of them.
Yeah, right.
It's a trick.
Oh, nature.
Okay. Stereotypically, but that's not the word I want, but along those lines, stereotypically, people who own their businesses or who are self-employed are considered to have less stable income versus people who are employed are generally considered to have more of a stable income, a predictable income. And slowly but surely, I feel like every year, the balance is tipping to the other side. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it feels like, at least since last year, I'm seeing that people who have their business or who are self-employed and who have been at it for a few years, like I'm not talking like you're just starting,
right,
have more stability than people who are employed because of all of these, like, traditional employers who used to be stable are finding ways to no longer be stable. I'm talking government, schools, hospitals, big, like, factories, big corporations that before, when you got in and you passed your 3 months probation, you had a permanent position. Mm-hmm. And if you lost your job, I mean, everybody can lose a job at some point, but it wasn't like now it almost feels systematic. Like when you're signed into a job or when you are hired, you're hired for like 6 months, 8 months. I'm like, 8 months? Just make it a year, man. Like, why are you gonna chop off 4 months of the year? Like, just give it at least a year. But still, a year, 2 years, that's not stability.
No.
And all of the, like, even the tech industry now, constantly getting laid off.
Right.
So I'm like, wait a minute. Is that happening now? Like, people, because now, because I'm not in that position at all. I have my business and I always, but the possibility after so many years of having my business that all of a sudden I will have zero clients is so slim, you know? Yeah. I'm guessing you're feeling like that too. Like,
for sure. Yeah, it's like that element of relying on someone else for your job. That's, I think, part, like what you said, it's changed a lot from our parents' generation where it was like, you do your job, you keep your head down, and like, generally, you're going to have a long career, like as long as you want, as long as you do those things. But now it feels like that's not enough. And like, the corporations are just so willing and able to just lay people off and find someone for cheaper. And
not just corporations, governments are doing it, you know, big agencies or schools or like all of those, you know.
Yeah, it's scary. I definitely think the caveat that you said about people be like business owners who have been in it for long enough, because of course the new business owners, like, it wasn't like that for me at the beginning, and it took a long time to get to a place where I am now. But yeah, I totally agree. It's kind of weird.
It's a
weird shift.
It's a weird thing to see. To see people who are, you know, within the employee life be worried about losing their job, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what? I'm supposed to be the one sounding like that, you know?
So, yeah.
Anyways, I thought that I just made that observation this week.
It's a good one. I mean, not good. I feel like
no one should have that problem. But like,
yeah. Ideally, no one has that problem, but it's just not the world we live in.
Yeah.
Okay. This is something that I can't remember if you and I have spoken about and if you're the one who gave me this advice, but I just remember someone in my life giving me the advice that when someone asks you if you can loan them money, it's like a life hack, okay? And this is, if you can't afford to gift the money completely, you don't give the money at all. So meaning, if someone's like in a pinch, a friend or a family member or whatever it is, and they're asking you, you know, can I borrow $500? I'll give it back to you when I'll pay you back when I can. You're not going to give this person that money unless you're never willing to see the money again. So, and is this a policy that you go by or no?
No, that's not me.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember who told this to me, but I love it. I find it so helpful because the reality of loaning money, especially in friendships and families, is that I would say like 9 times out of 10, people don't or can't pay you back for whatever reason. Like, they're not in a good place to begin with. So the fact that they're borrowing this money, it's like they're already going beyond their means in some way. So I like the idea that, like, if you're going to do this, if you're going to give money, just do it as a gift. And that way you don't have to be not bothering this person, but you don't have to be like putting the friendship on the line, basically, to then have to come back and be like, hey, it's been 6 months and you haven't paid me back, or you're feeling like they're taking advantage of you, or whatever the feelings are. And also, I feel like when you decide that you're going to gift the person this money, you don't have to give them the full $500. You could say, hey, I can only afford to give you $100 right now, but don't worry about paying it back, right? Like, you get to set kind of boundaries. Obviously, you never have to give anyone any money if you're not in a place to. But I think this parameter of, like, if you're not able to just say goodbye to it, then don't loan it either, because then you are going to be coming back needing it. And like having to put this friendship in this awkward place over and over again of being like, hey, I'm just checking in. Like, are you going to pay me back? And it becomes really awkward that that's your dynamic with this person now. Whereas if you just gift it, it's like you get to feel good about helping a friend out, helping a family member out. You don't have to like be thinking about it ever again. And it's just done. So this is like one of my favorite little life hacks about money that I think is so useful and just creates a healthier dynamic with that awkwardness.
Yeah, I agree. Oh. I agree 100%. No, I think mine is more like, I think I can count on one hand the people I would loan to.
Right.
That's it. Aside from that, yeah. I just say no.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of times and no is on. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you definitely have to be able to trust the person that it's worth even gifting to. Like, obviously you're not going to do this to everyone in your life, but mm-hmm. for the people who really like feel worth it, I think it's a risk that you're putting on the friendship to do the loan.
Yes.
So just being able to give someone that you really do care about, that you would loan to begin with, just being able to give them this and help them in a way that's not putting pressure on them anymore is mm-hmm. a really cool thing to be able to do if you can. And if you can't, like, being honest about that is also the best way
mm-hmm. to be. Like, well, it's like a financial institution. You know, if mm-hmm. you go and you ask them, they're going to ask, well, why do you need it? And then you get, they analyze the risk. They analyze, do you have a good reason? They check, mm-hmm. you know, where you're sitting at, like, what else do you have going on in your life? They look at all these things before they decide if they're going to give it to you or not.
Right.
And, you know, the same way financial institutions will have like a certain profiling, I guess I'm that.
Yeah.
I will profile, which is basically if you're not one of those like top five people that I would loan to, you're out mm-hmm. already. Mm-hmm. But like the other thing is I'm lucky that the top people that I would loan to are probably not fuck-ups.
Yeah, they're probably never going to ask.
Or if they ask, it's a very, like, there's a specific reason, like it's a timing issue or like, you know, it's an investment issue. It's like, just like something like that.
Yeah.
And they combine like all the rules. Like, number one, I could give it without asking for it back. Number two, I know they're not fuck-ups. Mm-hmm. Number three, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I trust them. So it's yes. just like a lot of things that line up so well mm-hmm. that why am I going to bother with other people who don't have those? Like, yeah. So yeah. I hate giving money or like lending or giving money to people who are not those few people mm-hmm. that have already like pre-screened, that have basically an open line of credit with me.
Yeah. Well, and like, how many times have you heard a story about a friend or whatever who has loaned the money and then can't get it back? And no, they're asking yeah. and it's like, and then the person ends up asking for more. And it's like, are you kidding? Like, are you kidding me? Like,
are you kidding me?
First yeah. of all, do those people how do they have the audacity, in my opinion? Mm-hmm. I'm like, how are you taking from someone and then just like not addressing the fact that you never paid it back and then asking for more? Like, that's wild to me.
Because they're in, I mean, we're going to go psychologist here, because they're probably in victimhood mentality and mm-hmm. they think they're the victim. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair that someone else has more money and they don't have it. So they don't care to ask for more. They feel like it's their, should be their right to just have more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, do you want those people hanging around you? I don't know. Right? I don't.
No, this is literally, I mean, not to get too like explicit about a situation that this came up in, but one of my friends is helping a family member who is getting a divorce and can't afford a lawyer, they can't afford an interpreter to help them with the paperwork with translating it. And so this friend of mine offered, you know, to do that for free for them, to do that service, which could be up to like $2,000 of their time, of their service. And then there's like a paperwork that needs to be filed with the state. And that costs another couple hundred dollars. And they, you know, contacted their family member and said, hey, I'm going to do, you know, all of the work for free, but you need to pay this $150 to file with the courts. This person then said, you just take care of that and I'll get you back later.
Yeah, and it's sure.
Like, do you not realize that you're already taking this person hours and hours and hours of this person's time, and then you're just asking for more and more on top of it, as if it's no big deal. Like,
your friend should talk to whoever she's getting a divorce from. She might get along with the other side.
Yeah, it's just tough because it's family, right? It's like, that's your family. So,
yeah.
I literally told my friend, I don't think that's the kind of family you need to be helping out for free. Like, it doesn't matter that they're family. Like, you set a boundary and you don't let those kinds of people take advantage of you in that way. It's just not.
Exactly. Okay. What do you want family like that for?
Right.
Is that how that other person is seeing it? Like, if they're just such opposite ways of looking at life.
Mm-hmm.
The person, your friend who's helping, is looking at life like, I have to help my family.
Right.
And that member of hers, the family member of hers who's getting the help, is looking at it like, I'm going to screw her over because she's my family.
Yep. Because I can take advantage of it.
I can take advantage. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to stop.
Agree. Agree.
Okay. It's so funny because I wrote something here. I'm just going to say because I wrote a thought. And it's a great afterthought from what we were just discussing.
Ooh, okay.
But I wrote it not thinking about this. But yeah, I wrote, having toxic people in your life prevents you from being rich. So, okay, it sounds like a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I write stuff sometimes. So I was just like thinking about how, and okay, being rich can be interpreted in many different ways, right? But let's just think being rich, like materialistically rich, money and possessions and assets. If you're surrounded with toxic people, you just can't do it. You can't do it because those toxic people are just sucking the life out of you anyways.
Just dragging you down with
dragging
them.
You down. Because I was thinking, I was like, okay, if I had toxic people, because I know some people who have toxic friends or toxic whatever people in their lives.
Yep.
And sometimes they talk to me about it a little bit, but I can just like listen a little bit and then move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, but they're dwelling in the emotions of it. If I was dwelling in those emotions, I wouldn't have the energy to go to work and be efficient and have like creative ideas and, you know, all of, like, they would literally prevent me from getting rich.
It's draining. Like, having that kind of energy in your life is literally just going to drain you of precious time.
Time that you could be, time that you could be doing lots of things that are going to translate into money, if this is what we're talking about.
Money or healthy habits or quality time with people who are going to fill your cup, like all of it, all of it.
Yeah, all kinds of being rich.
Yeah, wealth. But
specifically, I wrote it thinking about money. But yes, all kinds of being rich. But I was like,
time is money, baby.
No, but I was just, the funny thing is I made the parallel in my mind of like, wait a minute, having toxic people in my life is costing me money. That's not cool, you know, because it can, some people, that's how they understand. If like, it costs them their health and they let it be, it costs them their time and they're letting it. But when you're like, yo, I could write down an actual bill, like an invoice of how much money you're losing from having toxic people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what you're losing. Then we can split it up of like we can turn the paper around and be like, this is how much money you could be making on top of everything.
Right.
If you didn't have.
Or like with positive people in your life who are going to uplift you, valuable lessons and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Scary thing.
If anyone out there is still wondering if they should like toss that negative friend, stop that toxic relationship, break up from a shitty, non-supportive, you know, partnership, it's costing you money.
Yeah.
Damn is. Yeah.
But then who are you going to talk shit about during your coffee chats?
I know. What are you going to do that? Other
you
people.
You keep them as like a mutual acquaintance. Not a friend, but like you just know them. You don't have to cut them out completely, maybe. I don't know. You and I think are both so like 100% no nonsense with this. Like,
yeah,
you are not in my life. I am blocking you like fuck out of here. So we aren't good with the like acquaintance thing.
No,
it's like either all or nothing.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like that meme, that little reel of like a dog that's like, this is a waste of time. We could have been having a coffee. We could have been inside having a beer at a bar. Yeah, you haven't seen
it? I don't know this dog. You need to send him to me.
I'll send it to you.
So cute.
Usually, I really connected with him because usually it's like the first time I saw. There's a few dogs that have adopted this audio now, but usually they're like outside in the cold. And it's like their owners are making them hike in the snow or some shit. And then the dog is like, this is a waste of time. We could have been having a coffee. So yeah, that's how I feel.
Wow. I relate to him already. All right.
Okay, that was my last thing.
All right. Well, to close it out, I have a question for you guys. And this isn't necessarily this isn't a toxic person at all. This is a friend of mine who is so type A, and I feel like you and I are type A already, but this friend puts our type A to shame, okay? She's like the opposite of a Latina in the sense that she is on time to the T. So say we're meeting at 1:15, she's parked by 1:12, waits in her car until 1:14, walks up to the place at 1:15 and is there at 1:15, okay? No matter what. And like on the few times we meet once a week, we're like good friends. On the few times that she's been late, it's like profuse apologies, like almost as if she's like stabbed me in the back. Okay. Like, I'm so sorry I've wasted your like 2 minutes late. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's all good. I literally don't care. You could be 10 minutes late. So through this friendship, like I've noticed in myself that I like subconsciously feel like I have to be there right on time or else she's going to be so fucking disappointed in me. Right. Like, and I'm not a chronically late person, but I'm definitely also not like looking at the clock 3 minutes early to be like, okay, I need to be there right now at this moment. Like, it's kind of like, for me, there's a give or take of like 5 minutes in both directions.
Yeah,
like I'm going to show up sometime in there. Like, that's usually, obviously if it's a work meeting, it's different. But like with friendships, it's kind of more casual to me as far as like the time of the meeting. So is it rude of me to like sometimes show up a few minutes later and not like profusely apologize and feel guilty? Or is it fine to just like be me? Or do I need to like become on her level only in this friendship?
Have you asked her what she thinks?
I think I've been late a few times and like apologized and she's like, it's fine. Like, she's not hurt by it or offended by it.
Right.
But I'm just still in my mind, I'm like, but this is important to her. Like, I know how important this is to her.
I think it's a conversation you really, maybe my intuition tells me, when you say like that it's a conversation she could enjoy having.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling this girl truly is not bothered if you're a little late.
Yeah.
But obviously she's devastated if she is late.
Yeah.
So I think this plays with her self-worth.
Hmm.
You know, that she just feels like she's, you know, not worthy if she doesn't arrive on time.
Yeah.
So, you know, a hug would help. And just like.
Just some love.
Just telling her, you know what, how about with me? Be wild.
You know, show up 20 minutes late. I don't give a fuck.
I was gonna offer like 5 minutes late, and it would be just like, whoa. I don't think she's ready for 20 minutes late. Like, that might give her anxiety. Yeah. But I think you can address it.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be helpful to her.
Yeah.
If anything.
That's good advice. Cause I have like the few, like she, I, you know what I have noticed? Cause we've been having these meetings and like we hang out, we do a meeting every week. Like it's loosely for work, but a lot of it is just like to hang out and catch up. And at first, like I said, she was like super apologetic. And there have been a few times just in the last like 4 or 5 months where she actually has like forgotten about the meeting and showed up like 10 minutes late. And she was so apologetic. But I like, well, all the time I was just like, it's fine. Like, it's no big deal at all. Like, I'm just here like working. And I think she's gotten less apologetic, which I think is growth. So maybe I will just directly talk to her about it and give her some love about it and be like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to be your friend regardless.
Exactly. This is a safe space for being late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use it and abuse it.
Yes. With me, doesn't matter. Anyway. All right.
Oh, that was a good one. Okay. Anything to share? I have something if you
please go.
Oh, right?
I'll go next.
Great. So, same creators than the Scammers podcast, which I don't know if you started listening
to. Yeah, I did listen to one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same creators, so Wondery are the creators. This is called Even the Royals.
Ooh.
Like royals, like royalty. And what they do, two other girls, they go through the story of different royal characters. Now, I notoriously cannot stand the whole frenzy of like the royals, especially here in Canada, because we are part of the crown of the UK. And like anytime something happens with them, it's like people want to talk about it and I don't care. But what they do is that they go through the story to show you the drama the different royals go through. And it's cool. It's like a little history class. But it's like a gossip drama history class. So that's why it's fun.
Okay. Yeah. I could get into that.
Yeah, it's got its thing. It's called Even the Royals.
That whole show, The Crown, on Netflix, I've never been able to get into that because it's so long. But if it's like a short little episode and you can pick the drama that you want to know about, I like that.
Yeah, like one of the first episode is on Marie Antoinette.
Ooh.
And, you know, she ended up being beheaded. So you could tell there was drama there. So really, really good. Yeah. That's cool. What I recommend.
All right.
So, people, if you have enjoyed our podcast, please share it with one of your friends or family member. And we will catch you next week.
See you later.